Johnson. Oh, going for the championship, that ain't coming close. This might require taking notes, homie, listen close. Serendipity when you know, you the one who chose. We going past the end zone, crushing every goal. I feel it in my enzymes, in my chromosomes. If you ain't come outside to go hard, then go back home. I'm in my zone, if it ain't greatest, I'm better left alone. This for the world, put what we speaking on speakerphone. Yeah, Wills, let them know what we be on. Serendipity, man, tune in.
What's going on, good people? Welcome to another episode of Serendipity. I'm Inky Johnson here with my brother.
I'm Oak, Okafenus. What's happening, brother?
Man, I can't call. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. I'm doing well, you know. Ups and downs, but more ups than downs.
Yeah, but
we in here, boss.
We here. And I'm going to start it off with a quote, man, like we usually do. Oak, I heard this. I was like, man, like I say, inner simplicity is yet profound. Cat said, talk is cheap, action is expensive. Talk is cheap, action is expensive.
I guess when I hear it, think it's easy to say anything.
Like, right.
You know, you can make anything come out your mouth.
Right.
You don't need situation and circumstance to speak.
Right.
As old folks say, I lie, don't care who tell it.
Yeah.
Or you could tell the truth, you know, all of that. But it's easy to do. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to speak.
Right on.
But when we start talking about actions have so many variables.
Mm.
Right? It's how you feeling, it's what you believe, what you think.
Mm.
It's all tied to what is it on the inside of you that you're willing to sacrifice, because it requires sacrifice for action, to be a husband, to be a wife, to be, you know, in your profession. All of that is so important, but it costs so much. And I understand what he meant by when he said, you know, action is expensive.
Yes, sir.
Right? And to me, words... it's cheap.
Right on.
Actions, they are expensive.
Yeah.
What you believe is priceless.
Mm. Yes, sir.
If you're willing to walk on what you believe, right? Because what you believe is, it encompasses what you say. It encompasses what you do, meaning your actions.
Sure.
But more importantly, what you believe is what you teach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what you teach is what you, that's the legacy that you leave behind.
Talk about it.
Your actions are for you, right? Your words are for other people. Your words are like to help other people, to make other people feel good. You do it for a living.
Yeah.
Your words, boom, they inspire folks,
yes, sir.
Right? Your actions a lot of times don't get seen. They behind the scenes in terms of what you do with your family, you know, in terms of what you do with your kids, in terms of what you do with your investment, your business, all of that.
Sure.
That's your... those are your actions, and that's very expensive.
Right on.
Now, what happens is, because like me, I'm able to and have had the pleasure of watching you grow and watching your, and hearing your words and watching your actions.
Sure.
I know what you're teaching.
No doubt.
So I can say, oh, I know Inky believes this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Of course.
So that's why I say what you teach and what you believe is priceless.
Yeah, man. I got you. I'm picking it up, man. I love it, Oak, because it says, talk is cheap, action is expensive, right? And when I hear it, like, action is always going to cost us something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, always, right? It's like when you talk about love and people say love is a verb. A verb is interconnected to action, right? You could say it all day, but action has to follow it up. I'll never forget, man, talking to... athletes at the University of Tennessee, and cats would come in, man, and, you know, they would always say what they were going to do, what they were going to accomplish, like, how they were going to do it, and I'd be like, man, that's phenomenal. And I would always say, man, I got one question for you. Like, what you willing to sacrifice? What you willing to give up? Right? Because that's the action.
Right.
Everybody wants some. Everybody aspires to get some. That's the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the challenge is, what am I willing to give up? I tell people often, like, One of the most challenging times in my life was when I was in a situation that I had no control over, and I felt my spirit saying, let go, and I couldn't because I had a false sense of control, right? But it took a level of action that in the moment I felt like, nah, I can't do it. But in our lives, oftentimes, when life is asking us to let go of old environments, old people, old situations, old habits, action.
Yeah.
Right? It's asking us to let go of things. We're like, nah, we can't do it because we feel as if we got a false sense of control. And so when it says talk is cheap, action is expensive, action is always going to cost you something, right? Are you willing to pay the cost? More importantly, are you willing to accept the cost, right? So, yeah, I'm picking it up.
Yeah. One of the most trying times in my younger days was...
What's your younger days? Or what's your younger? You said younger.
Yeah, younger. That's way back there, many moons ago. Yeah. Many moons ago.
I got you.
You know, like high school when I tore my ACL.
I got you.
And having to rehab.
Yeah.
And rehab, you know, back then it wasn't as, you know, it wasn't as modern in terms of...
all the technology and
all
machines
of that stuff.
And all that stuff.
It was me, a gym key, and a weight room. Mm. You know, I would go and rehab, and I would, you know, learn and pay attention to what they were having me to do.
Right.
But it was okay, now I got to go and put the work in to get my knee back to being able to come back and play my senior year to earn a football scholarship.
To earn.
Right.
Yes, sir.
But there was a time when I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. Mm. You know, and it's that moment in our lives when you know, as we say, you get to the crossroads or you get to your threshold, when you don't think you can do it.
Yes, sir.
Simply keep going. And I'm saying simply because that action, although expensive, is not deep.
I love it.
It's not deep.
I love it. I'm picking it
like,
up.
Like, when you get to that point of you want to quit, you don't, and part of wanting to quit is you don't believe.
Yeah, talk about it.
So if you first just take a break, just stop. Don't judge yourself. Don't, you know, be hard on yourself in those moments. Just stop.
Man, listen, I don't think they understand. Well, they do understand, but I need you to run that back. When you just said, don't judge yourself, don't be hard on yourself, just stop. That's so key,
yes,
man.
Yes, because we become, some of us, who, especially successful people, right?
Right on.
We become our hardest critics.
Absolutely.
And we feel like being hard on ourselves is what's going to propel us to the next level. Mm-hmm. When in actuality, what propels you to the next level is nurturing yourself.
Yes, sir.
It's forgiving yourself.
Absolutely.
It's being easy with yourself in that moment. Now, there are going to come times when you got to go hard.
Absolutely.
Right? Once I got in the weight room and I'm at the third set of 10, okay, I got to go to fourth set. I got to go to fifth set. Yeah. Right? Absolutely. But what propelled me to go to the weight room was, man, I didn't go yesterday. Mm. Mm. I didn't go 2 days ago. I might as well just give up.
Yeah.
I'm not cut out for it. We'll begin to doubt ourselves. When we have thinking we're in control, when we have expectations of ourselves that we don't meet in that moment. Mm. Yet, if in that moment, just when you feel like you want to quit, when you feel like you want to stop, when you feel like you want to give up, just pause.
Yes, sir.
That's when you allow the universe, that's when you allow the ancestors, that's when you allow all your grandmama who don't pray for you, when you allow those prayers to propel you to keep going. Mm. So you have to stop and receive all of the resources that has been poured into you. Mm. So you got to get out of your own way. That's what I mean by be easy on yourself.
I'm picking that up.
Right.
I always tell my kids, man, don't be your own worst critic or enemy. You know what I'm saying? Because you can be hard on yourself. That's why I was like, man, that's so key. But I was talking to Keyshawn before we started, and I said, man, like life, the way that I know I'm doing the right thing. Like, I feel like what we're doing is meaningful work, right? Like, the work that we're doing with the pod, everybody that's a part, I feel like we're doing meaningful work, like, that's going out into the world, permeating and impacting people, right? I said, but the way that I know I'm doing meaningful work is when opposition, adversity, challenges, uncertainty lands in my path. I said, that lets me know that I'm doing the right thing.
Yep.
I said, whereas most people, when they encounter adversity and opposition, they resist, they retreat, and they question. Mm-hmm. When I encounter adversity, opposition, uncertainty, and change, excuse my language, but I'm like, let's fucking go.
Yes, sir.
Like, it's on. Like, yes, I've been waiting on, like, I've been waiting on you. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like, I know I'm on the right path. Like, when I encounter that, it does something to me. Like, it don't make me retreat. It don't make me go in the fetal position. It don't make me fold up. I'm like, let's go. Like, I've been waiting on you, because if I can figure out how to use you, how to navigate you, I'm going to be a better man. I'm going to be a better father. I'm going to be a better brother. I'm going to be a better son. I'm going to be a better team member. Like, let's go. Right? That's just perception and perspective.
Yep.
You understand? And so, no doubt, man.
It's easy to be a devil's advocate.
Talk about it.
But it's hard. It's hard to be a God's warrior. Mm. But that's what you essentially were saying.
Yes, sir.
Like, give me the opportunity to show that I'm God's warrior.
Yeah.
Right?
Talk about it.
Bring the adversity. Bring the rain. Bring the storm. Right? Because that gives me the opportunity to show just how wonderful my life is from inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from the outside in, yeah, we're struggling like everyone else.
Absolutely.
But from the inside out, that internal joy, that internal fire that burns within you,
yeah,
it's there. It's in everyone. It's no in doubt. Everyone. You
Absolutely.
Have it. It's just a matter of, are you able to tap into it? That's the work.
Yes, sir.
That's the action. Right?
That's it.
That's the cost.
That's it.
That's why it costs so much. That's why actions cost so much. Because you got to go all the way in to manifest, right? Whatever and whoever it is that you meant to be.
Mm. That's a fact.
The devil's advocate, anybody can do that. Anybody can advocate for the devil.
Yes, sir.
But who can be a warrior for the universe? Who can be a warrior for God? Who can be a warrior for themselves? Mm. Who can be a warrior for their family? Who can be a warrior for their community?
Yes, sir.
That's what we're seeking.
Yes, sir.
Because in this day and time right now, we need warriors, bro.
Yes, sir.
I'm tired. I'm tired.
That's
we
a
need
fact.
Warriors, man.
That's a fact.
And warriors, there's a book called The Peaceful Warrior.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't always mean that we got to go out and just fight and throw hands and shoot the gun and throw the spear. Sometimes being the warrior is just sitting still.
Yeah, man.
In the midst of chaos all around you, you being that light, that calming example for everything around you, right? Mm-hmm. As you sit still, being the eye of the storm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what we are in dire need of. And I think, brother, I appreciate you and other brothers like you who are doing that kind of work.
Yes, sir.
Right? Being God's warrior in your own way, right? And people are picking up what you're putting down.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Likewise.
Yes, sir.
Likewise. Oak, I wrote something down, man, that I want us to pitch and catch about, you know?
Okay.
How important is it to admit when one is wrong? How important is it to admit when one is wrong?
How important is slop is to a hole?
Carry on, man. Go for it. Let's go.
I mean, it's part of living
Let's
for
go.
It, right?
No question.
To be able to own, again, we come back to it, to be able to own your tish, own when you have fallen short, right? That's cool and it's great for your own internal peace. But what the other aspect of that is, it allows people to gravitate towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to be around someone who doesn't always feel like they're right.
Yeah.
And you also give other people permission now.
There you go.
To admit when they have fallen short,
there
when they've
go.
Been less than their best.
There you go.
Right? You want to give people permission
there you go.
To be less than their best so that they can become their best.
There it is.
right? If we're always functioning and thinking that you're at your best.
There it is.
Because better is always better than best.
Mm. Talk about it.
Better is always better than best because your best is a stagnated place and point.
Yes, sir.
Better is always getting better.
Absolutely.
Becoming always becomes.
No question. I'm picking that up.
Right? So when you are able to own it, take accountability for whatever mistake that you've made, right? Then what you do is you're giving other people like, wow, this person right here is able to do that. Then I can do it too. And still be seen and feel and still get the gratification, still get the validation from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't have to put on a false sense of airs, as the old folks say.
Right on. Right?
So the main thing, man, is when you can admit your mistakes for other, what it does for other people is give them permission to admit theirs.
Absolutely. Or that's powerful, man.
Or it exposes that they are being a devil's advocate and not a God's warrior.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was reading, man, and the reason I asked that question about how important is it to admit when you're wrong, I was reading something about an Indian industrialist has mistake meetings, right? Said they incorporated mistake meetings into their business, like mistake meetings to where they come together and they talk about mistakes and they be honest about the mistakes that they've made, right? And check this out.
Mm-hmm.
He said they started an award called Dare to Try, where it recognizes people for trying and pursuing worthy but unsuccessful projects where they came up short when they may have made a mistake. This cat is like a trillionaire. And they said by going by that model, mistake meetings, right? Admitting when you're wrong, being honest, having the dialogue. And they asked him about leadership, said exceptional leaders know and learn that they're not ever done being a student. Their greatest fear isn't that it's their expertise and authority. Their greatest fear is that they can become complacent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it said when you're constantly growing, you admit your mistakes. You admit when you're wrong because it empowers other people. Fatherhood, oh. I never forget, man, dealing with my children. And they bounced a question back my way one day. I was trying to teach them something. They bounced a question back my way and was like, Dad, so you? And I was like, I just kept it a buck with them, right?
Yeah.
Like, nah, bro, like, I messed that up. That's what I'm trying to teach you. I made the mistake. You know what I'm saying? But I love it when you said it empowers other people because it does, but also in speaking, right? Working with young cats that speak, I remember when I first started putting out content and I was working with a young guy and he was putting out content and I said, man, we want to show this part because we want to show our growth. This is when we first started presenting. I was like, we want to show this part, want to show the growth, want to keep evolving. I said, people love to see the process. Mm-hmm. I said, people want to see the process and the evolution. People love to see the growth. Like, people don't want to see you, and you just come out, and you at the top. You the man. You on top of the mountain. You got the muscle. People want to see the evolution and the growth. My man was like, nah, I'm finna show him the... My man didn't last.
Yeah.
Because it was always trying to be perfect. And there was so much pressure on trying to be perfect that it took his focus and his perspective off of what was important. It's not about being perfect. It's about being human.
Yeah.
Right? I'm gonna say it again. It ain't about being perfect. It's about being human, man. Sometimes show you human, man. Show people that you're human. Don't act like a robot, man. You ain't gotta be perfect. Like, take the pressure off yourself, man. Give yourself some grace.
Yes, sir.
And admit when you're wrong. It's all good. It empowers other people. That's how we grow, right? You ain't gotta be perfect.
Oh. And when you were talking about teaching, right?
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to make sure that just a little quick segue to Miss is it Sydney?
Yeah, Kilgore.
Yeah, Miss Sydney Kilgore, over at Connolly Hills,
right on.
In Fulton County, South Fulton, is the Teacher of the Year, and Miss Tajay Hemmings is a Teacher of the Year at Langston Hughes High School.
Respect.
And the thing is, though, I would surmise, and I know one of them very, very well, that when you get the recognition from your peers, you get the recognition from your students, it makes you feel great. Like when you get recognition from your family, when you get recognition at your job, it makes you feel a certain kind of way. If it makes you, if it propels you to do more, again, you being God's warrior. Mm-hmm. If it propels you to become now complacent and I made it,
yeah.
That's pretty much where it's gonna stop. Mm. Right?
Yes, sir.
That's why we're saying be easy with yourself, give yourself grace. And then also always try to empower people because that energy comes back to empower you.
Yes, sir.
So you always, that's why you wanna always be able to say, you know what, my bad, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I made that mistake. Right?
Yes, sir.
Because what that does, it gives you more energy to go forward. When you wanna stand on business of wrong business,
right,
then that's the only business that you're gonna stand on.
Yeah.
That's it.
Picking it up.
Right? Oh. So the people love to see the process. Mm. They love to see the process. And then at the end of the day, I would surmise that both of these young ladies are good people.
Yes, indeed.
That's pretty much, they're good at what they do,
right,
great at what they do. There are a lot of great teachers that never get recognized. There are a lot of great salesmen and women that never get recognized.
Right.
There are a lot of great people who are good at what they do, but are they good at being a good person?
Yeah, be a good person.
Man. Right? Because that is the thing that, and being a good person, part of being a good person is own your mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And understand this. I tell groups all the time, almost every single week when me and my wife pick our children up from school, we go to the exact same place. And I always say to her in a joking manner, like, man, you want to go to this place again? She's like, yeah, the lady in the drive-thru reminds me of my aunt. I'm like, but she's not your aunt. Right? But just being a good person, the quote says it. People may forget what you do, people may forget what you say, but people will never forget the way you make them feel. Right? Just being a good human. Right? The X factor in life, regardless of the variables, regardless of what we do, the X factor in life will always be people. Right? Yep. That's why we go to the places we go. That's why we do the things we do. Right? That's why we come into the environments that we come, because of the people. People may forget what we do, people may forget what we say, but people will never forget the way we make them feel. Be a good human,
yep,
man.
Yep. I tell people all the time, like, are you the person that when someone sees you walking down the hallway, are you the person that they are going to try to duck into a corner or duck into the first room, or are you the person that they're going to run to and try to embrace?
Yes, indeed.
And that lets you know on the scale of whether you're a good person or not.
Yeah, man.
That's it. Because I can see some people coming down the hallway because I don't want none of that negative energy. I don't want none of that toxicity. I got to go to the bathroom, man. I just left the bathroom.
You just left the bathroom.
Man, I forgot something in the bathroom, man. Let me go get my phone or something.
Hey, they call it a professional spinner.
Yeah.
Oak is a professional. He going to spin you, right?
Yeah, man.
No, man, I'm picking that up, man. But, I heard something the other day. It talked about systemic risk, right? We hear things like systemic, right? We hear all this different stuff. Systemic risk, being a part of a system that people have done things the same way over the years and being taught the same. Systemic risk, right? Are you growing or are you a part of systemic risk? You're part of a system that's done things the same way for a long time and being taught the same way. Systemic risk. Are you at systemic risk to where you're not growing, you're not evolving because you're just perpetuating the same behavior, same thought processes, and doing things the same way, man? Systemic risk. Oh. I was like, Jesus Christ. Systemic risk?
It's a paradigm.
Jesus
systemic
Christ.
Risk is a paradigm, right? Which we can look at it like a fixed mindset.
Yep.
Okay? But I choose to spin systemic risk as a growth mindset.
Yeah.
That I'm always going to be in a place where I want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So the systemic aspect of it is the paradigm.
Yeah.
The risk is whether you're willing to take chances or not. Mm-hmm. So you got one side of the coin that may say, I want to keep doing the same thing. The other side is, I'm going to keep doing the same thing. And what that same thing is keep changing.
Right.
Right? Because the way we're wired is we're going to keep doing the same thing because we're just naturally wired that way. That's just who we are.
Right.
The question is, what are you wired to do?
Talk about it.
And then just like in a car, you can change the carburetor, you can change the battery, right? But that car still is going to, when you press on the gas, it's going to go and you're going to drive it. Mm-hmm. So that's the systemic part.
Right.
The risk part is, what are you changing? What are you paying attention to on a day-to-day basis? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's, I like to tell teachers, if you're not reflecting, then you're not growing, right? If this is what you've always done, and you've always done it this way, and you're not reflecting to see if I need to change or not, then you're not going to grow. If you're a football coach, a basketball coach, a ball player, whatever it is you're doing in life, if you're not reflecting on what you did, then you're not going to change what you've done.
Yes, sir. It's good.
So the systemic risk is, I'm always going to reflect. I'm never going to not reflect.
Yes, sir.
Right? So you want to make the things that you do be so concrete and constant, like your principles, your character. Like, I'm always going to seek wisdom. I'm always going to press for humility.
Yes, sir.
I'm always going to say yes, sir, and no, ma'am, to whomever I meet. I'm always going to give reverence to an elder. Mm-hmm. That's not going to change.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the way in which it looks and manifests may change from time to time. I may, elder, how you doing, elder? Or Mr. Such and Such. I mean, the words may change, but the reverence never will change.
No doubt.
So we have to understand there's a difference between changing in your preferences and remaining true to your to your principles. Changing in your preferences, remaining true to your principles.
Yes, sir.
Because that's how you grow, while still keeping your emotional, mental, and spiritual anchor.
Picking that up. You are at risk of systemic risk.
Yep.
Young fella, you are not a product of your environment. You're a product of your decisions and your choices. Mm-hmm. The thing that it made me think about with systemic risk is when you grow up in certain environments, you encounter certain behaviors, certain thought processes because of where you come from. And when people say things such as, this is how we've always done it. This is how we operate. This is how we do things. This is how we think about it. This is how we approach it. You are at risk of systemic risk, right? That's why I love it when it says you're not a product of your environment, you're a product of your decisions and your choices. Meaning no matter how the environment operates, right, the systemic risk, I'm a product of my decisions and my choices, what I choose to do, who I choose to become. So I don't become a product of systemic risk when somebody says things such as, this is how we've always done it, this is how we operate, this is how we, not that it's bad, right? But it can be bad for you and your development and the person that you're trying to become. Or on the flip side of it, it can be great, right? Based upon the individuals that you're acquiring the information from. I think the key is be aware.
That's it. That's it.
Right? Just be aware.
That's
right?
It.
I tell people often, man, I feel so blessed to have grown up in the environment that I grew up in because I got to see both sides of the fence. I got to see what certain decisions and choices led to, and I got to see the consequences. I got to see both sides of the fence very early and was aware of systemic risk in the environment that I was coming up in very early, right? And so I think the key is just being aware, man. Just being aware.
Yep.
Yeah. I got something for you, though, Oak.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever ruin an apology with an excuse, baby. Don't ever ruin an apology with an excuse.
You
got cats apologizing and put an excuse at the end of the apology.
Hey, that apology is going to be weakened. Right? is like diluting Kool-Aid. It's gonna be weak, man.
It's gonna be weak.
Yeah, because when you offer the apology, you have to just end it right there.
Yeah, you gotta cut it.
You know, it was my fault, my bad that I was late.
Yeah.
We're done. You may now. It's up to you if you want to say, "Well, why were you late?" Well, this is what happened. Okay, cool. Yet that still doesn't supersede the fact that I was late, and that's the part that I'm going to own.
Yes, sir.
That's the part that I'm sticking with. That's the part that's always going to be on the forefront. What people oftentimes do is they'll say, "I was late because I had to do X, Y, and Z,"
And it may be valid.
Right. It is very valid.
Yeah.
But you've diluted it.
Definitely.
And when you dilute the apology, then you begin to dilute the relationship.
There it is.
Right? Yeah. You want it always to be, as you know what the words are today, keep it a buck.
Keep it a buck.
Keeping it a buck is somebody may have pushed me and I ran into you, right? Mm-hmm. Only thing, my apologies, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. That's it.
That's it.
Man, why you running into me?
No pressure.
No pressure. I own it.
No pressure.
Even though it's not even my fault that I hit you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's irrelevant.
Yeah.
That's irrelevant. Now, me and this person that just pushed me, we might have some conversation.
Yeah.
But my conversation with the person that I ran into, or I bumped or knocked them off their kilter a little bit. No. Only thing I have to offer them is my apologies.
Yeah.
No excuses. Even no reasons, because reasons also come off as excuses.
Yep.
Reasons
that's
are just
all
valid.
It is.
Yeah.
Covered up excuse.
So I want to always keep my word and my integrity on the forefront, in front of whomever it is that I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. Like I said, and I'll tell you straight up, I'll lie to you before I lie on you.
Right. No question.
Whatever, however, that's our relationship, right. Blah, blah, blah. But what I'm saying is I'm never going to try to diminish and dim your light.
No question. Respect. No question.
So when I fall short, my bad.
No doubt.
My apologies.
No
doubt. And that's it.
Yeah.
Unless you want to dive more into the conversation. But I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not coming. I'm not going to dilute the Kool-Aid.
No question. It's things like this that I feel in society that we take for granted, that's the foundation of individuals' character. Mm-hmm. And it says, don't ever ruin an apology with an excuse. It's so much power in that, but it's so hard to do.
Yeah.
Right? It's so much power in it, man, because oftentimes when a person apologizes, regardless of situation, condition, circumstance, situation, whatever the case may be, when a person apologizes and they feel a certain type of way, it's hard for that excuse not to come. And when you could teach a young person that, whether you're in the wrong or not in the wrong, apologize.
Exactly.
Be done with it.
Yep.
You pressing character.
Mm-hmm.
You pressing integrity on another level. Now a cat can have a dialogue with his wife and she could be pressing something to him, and he could feel like, man, I ain't even do that. But he could sit there, have his composure. Hey, he could have his composure and be like, boy, that made me feel, I'm balling. You know what I'm saying? I'm balling. But he could sit there and be chilling with composure. What did it say an episode ago? It said, what such a man need is not strength, not courage, but cool-headedness. But it can only be learned through practice.
Yeah.
Right?
I got a lot of practice.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I got too much practice. You understand? Too much. But man, I think that's stuff like that, man, that we look at as in society, like, oh, it ain't that deep. When really that be the stuff that shape and mold people, man, in their character. Like when Michelle said, when they go, what she say?
When they go low,
we go high. Like, bro, that's hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah,
especially in their predicament,
yep.
But just in life in general. Like, because cat's going to try to cut you, but cat's going to come at you.
Like, my personal life, and when I say personal life, not necessarily family, but just me as a person in the way of even professional, right?
I
always get accused of being, like, people take advantage of me.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh man, you letting such and such, they just take advantage, they just using you, yeah. Right?
Me too, man.
And it's hard to explain that you can't take advantage of me.
Right.
It's sort of like, you know, like a young Thundercat maybe, you know, get mad and want to try to fight me or come at me or something. Like, he's like, I tell him all the time, you can't try me.
Right.
Because the reason you can't try me, because you know, we all day always say, man, Shawty, try me, Shawty,
yeah,
try
yeah,
me.
Try,
right?
Try.
You can't try me because there's no way for you to win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't take advantage of me because I'm not in the world that you're living in.
No question. We ain't even on the same planet.
Right. I'm doing exactly what I want to do, and I don't give two rats ASSESs. About it.
Absolutely.
About what you got going on in response or, oh, yeah, let me get this or, you know, especially like as an administrator. Even I had a conversation last night. This, the person said, you know, one of the things is that I would say you need to work on is like people take you for granted or they, you know, they feel like, well, that's just Mitchell. He can, you know, we can do whatever. He's not going to say anything.
Right.
You're right. I'm not going to say anything. What I am doing is noticing your character.
Definitely.
I'm noticing that if you are given an inch, you're going to take a yard.
Yeah.
I'm realizing what type of person you are.
Yeah.
But it's still not going to move me or shift me in terms of doing what I want to do in life that feeds me.
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to be like, oh, no, you need to da 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 da. I'm going to write you up.
Right.
Ain't nobody writing nobody up, man. If that's what you want to do, go right ahead. That's
right
your
on.
Business, man. Because on my end, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make sure the organization still runs correctly.
Absolutely.
Still function at its highest because it lets me know who you are.
No question.
You still don't know who I am.
Picking that up. There it is. There it is.
You still have no clue as to who I am.
Definitely. Yeah.
But you are revealing to me every moment when you decide to be less than your best on purpose.
Absolutely.
Okay,
intentionally.
Cool. Yeah, intentionally.
Intentionally.
No pressure. So you cannot take advantage of me.
Yeah.
It's not even possible.
Yeah. I love it, man, because, and I told you this one night, I was coming back, man, I was doing a gig. I had spoke somewhere, and this was years ago, man, early in my career. I spoke at an event, a guy called me, he knew I was in town, and I was headed back to Atlanta to go back home, had somebody with me. And he was like, hey, we doing this fundraiser over here, man. Will you stop by? Just drop your head in, speak. People would love to see you. So I'm like, no pressure. It's on the way out. You know, I stop, get off the highway, no pressure. So I stop, I get off the highway, I drop in, speak. And next thing you know, my man got me in a full-blown, hey, come here. Hey, go do this. Hey, do this, right? And because of the calls, like, what it was about, no pressure. I ain't tripping. The person that was with me, oh, they had a problem with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the first thing out of their mouth, ain't they taking advantage of you. Like, nah, man, we ain't going. They taking advantage of you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's go. And I felt what he felt.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah.
But I was like, bro, it ain't even about that. Like, we ain't even on that.
Exactly.
I ain't even thinking like that. So if that's how he's think, I ain't even thinking like that. You good.
Yep.
Good. We good. I get it. I feel exactly what you feel. But when I find myself in those situations, my thought process is so different from the person that may be trying to manipulate or take advantage. I ain't even seeing it the way you seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I ain't even tripping on what you tripping on.
Because like I'm not in it for what you're in it for.
And my spirit ain't even in that place.
Yep. Yep.
You understand? I can't get on an emotional roller coaster with you. I told a cat one day, I said, man, I ain't got time to be mad at nobody. Man, I got a wife. I got two kids. I got to go to my son practice. I got to go to my daughter track practice.
Yep.
I ain't finna be sitting watching my daughter run 200 and I'm up there mad as a dog about something that just happened. Not saying that I don't get mad. I'm talking about situations that are outside of my control.
That's important too. Because it's not saying we don't get mad, not saying we don't feel a certain type of way.
Yeah.
But it quickly evaporates.
Absolutely.
Because you get back to the contract that you have with God, the contract you have with your ancestors. You get back to the prayers that your grandmama prayed for you.
Yes, sir.
That's the reality. That's your reality. That's the paradigm.
Absolutely.
Outside of that, anger, frustration, toxicity, negativity, that's over yonder somewhere.
Yeah.
That's way over yonder. Yeah. We here. And not saying we don't get outside of that, but we get back to being here very quickly. Mm. Mm. So I'm not going to give any of all of that BSery. We ain't giving that no attention.
Yes, sir.
Because, see, some people got degrees in fossilology and BSery.
Yes, sir. PhDs.
Yeah.
PhDs. Yeah. So, man, I'm going to land this plane with this word, oh, failure.
One of the greatest experiences a person can have.
Yeah.
Really. Yes. That's the only way to grow. Mm. That's the only way to get better. That's the only way to get closer. That's the only way to expand your capacity.
Yeah.
Is to fail.
Yeah.
It's literally what we talk about when we're talking about the process. The process is failure over and over and over and over again. That is where success is. It's on the other side of failure. Mm. That is where happiness is. That's where joy is. That's where love and a greater sense of connection is.
Yes, sir.
Failure.
Yes, sir.
The arguments that you have with your wife, the disagreements and the butting of the heads that you have with your teammates in practice.
Yes, sir.
The disagreements and then coming to a place. See, all of that is failure.
Yeah.
Right?
Necessary.
Necessary to in order for us to achieve anything worthwhile. Mm. For us to live in any type of state of being that is peaceful, that is that brings us joy. Mm. And what happens is, as I said, it's a cycle. Failure, okay? Failure, think of it like the wilderness.
Yeah.
You're in the wilderness. Okay, on the backside of that is the promised land.
Yeah.
That's your success. In order to be more successful, you got to fail again. Mm-hmm. And then you come out of that promised land.
Yes, sir.
In order to get more success, you got to fail again. So it's cyclical.
Right.
So you can't have success without failure.
I'm picking it up.
That's like you got a quarter without the tails. Right? It's not a quarter. You got the head. But you got to have a tail too.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I read something every single day I'm home, man. I read this piece by Robert Ward. And it says, he said, I wish you the courage to be warm when the world would prefer you be cool. I wish you success sufficient to your needs. I wish you failure to temper that success. I wish you joy in all your days. I wish you sadness so that you may better measure joy. I wish you gladness to overbalance the grief. I wish you humor and a twinkle in your eye. I wish you glory and strength to bear the burdens. I wish you sunshine on your path and storms to season your journey. I want to go back to a line, though. It says, I wish you success sufficient to your needs. I wish you failure to temper that success.
Yep.
I wish you success sufficient to your needs. I wish you failure to temper that success.
The old folks say you just can't get too big for your britches.
You'll
man.
Pick it up. You'll pick it up.
You can't get too big. When you get too big for your britches, they had a way, right, my belt will come off. They had a way of showing you to temper that success.
Yeah. Let me tell you what my granddaddy used to say to me, man. Don't write a check that your ass can't cash. Right. There it is. Peace. Serendipity, man. Tune in.